personal accounts from the beyond. 5th of March 1958 is the beginning of a lecture series given by ascending spirit beings, that is, deceased human beings who report on their experiences in the beyond after earthly death. By 1970, 91 such first-hand testimonies have been conveyed through Swiss medium Beatrice Brunner. In 1962, a selection of these personal accounts is published for the first time in the book, What Awaits Us, Personal Accounts from the Spiritual World. And here is, Experience Reports 1966-1967. From Past Life, Reported from the Other Side, Recounted Spiritual Experiences, When They Just Entered the Afterlife. Here then Google translated from German to English. Remark, this has been found in German language online, and translated here via Google into English, for personal use, and mistakes can certainly be found here, both in the translations, and in Google's perception, interpretation of the language otherwise. At some point in time, these messages will surely be translated and approved by the group, glz.org. These were originally only made to increase my personal understanding of the afterlife and how life there might unfold. But eventually I thought that this was so important also for others to understand, so therefore I post it, in the unprofessional form, which can still be useful for the searching soul, who cannot understand the German language at all. So here then Google translated to English. So even if this translation is not perfect, it can raise understanding for the searching soul, who can thus prepare for the afterlife. Foreword. The more than 2,000 lectures that were mediated by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983, also include 91 experience reports from ascending spirit beings. These are stories from deceased people who report on their earthly life and their first experiences in the world beyond. These accounts are very personal. The reporters show in many different ways what effects their human thoughts and actions had and how individually they were judged and treated after their death. The accounts give a vivid insight into various levels of the world beyond and into the laws of cause and effect. They show how justice is done to everyone who returns home and how much God's spirit world strives to support everyone in their spiritual development. The reports date from 1958 to 1970. This book is the fifth volume in the series of reports and contains the 16 lectures from 1966 and 1967. The new edition of the reports, they are being published chronologically for the first time in book form, sticks as close as possible to the original text or the original wording. Editorial changes were generally only made where they were necessary when translating the spoken language into written form. The characteristic expression of the spirit beings who make themselves known here has been left as far as possible in its original form so that the reader can empathize with their individual nature. G. L. Ulrich. Contents. Introduction. Alex. Elementary School Lessons in the Afterlife at a Lower Stage of Ascension. Adelaide, What the Intercession of a Good Soul Can Do in the Afterlife, was also in 64-65 edition. Threesier, Expectations of the Afterlife over Time. Wonder, a Spiritual Bond Between Two Siblings. Insight into the Past of a Spirit. Matthias, a Guardian Serves in a Spiritual Animal Kingdom. Benedict, Healing from Greed and Lack of Love. Elfried, How a Daughter Becomes a Blessing to Her Guilt-Ridden Father. Erica, Surprised by Awakening in the Afterlife by the Blessed Power of a Heavenly Intercessor. Frida, Earthly Possessions Cannot Be Taken into the Afterlife. Karen, A Wonderful Home Thanks to a Life of Merit. Jacob, The Afterlife Experience of a Rich but Unforgiving Landowner. Sebastian, The Return of a Mentally Handicapped Person. Ruth, The Burden of Irreconcilability. France, Worker and Designer in Heavenly Gardens. Introduction. What happens to us after we die? What is the world like that awaits us, and what will our life be like when we have crossed the threshold into the afterlife? We receive information about this from those who have already taken this step into the world beyond and who are given the opportunity to report on their experiences from the other world. In this fifth volume of the series of experience reports, deceased people again have their say, giving a personal insight into the world in which they live. They were specially selected by the otherworldly teachers of the GLDRIC community and commissioned to report on their past lives on Earth and their subsequent experiences in the world beyond through mediator Beatrice Brunner. These spirit beings belonged to different social classes on Earth. They had different life plans and fates and had different levels of education. Some had earned spiritual merit in their life on Earth, others had brought guilt upon themselves and returned to the world beyond burdened. Their personal accounts thus provide insight into different stages of ascension. They show according to which spiritual laws the deceased are received and judged, and their further path in the world beyond is shaped. Spirit teacher Joseph explained the selection of the reports. We select spirit beings and events that have the possibility of enriching your knowledge and teaching you what is necessary for your life. We only wish that you can fulfill your tasks in this life better, and you can fulfill them better with this spiritual knowledge. 4 of the lectures in this volume were not given by the beings themselves, but by spirit teacher Joseph, either because the people concerned were not able to do so themselves, for example the spirit child, or because they were not allowed to do so. For example, Ruth. In each of the reports, several topics are addressed. One important aspect, for example, is the work that is assigned to those returning home in the New World. To the great surprise of some, the spiritual world is a world in which work in which the spirit beings fulfill their tasks according to their abilities and their level of development. Several reports also specifically deal with the topic of guilt and atonement. They show that even if a person has committed serious sins in his life, the world of God will prepare ways for him to atone for and make amends for the wrongs he has committed. Every being who is willing to do so will receive the necessary support so that he can learn to overcome his vices and move on to further ascension and find happiness. For spirit teacher Joseph, one of the goals of these reports is to convey a differentiated and as comprehensive as possible picture of the world beyond that awaits us after our death. I have the opportunity to go to the most diverse levels of ascension in the spirit world. I rarely go alone, I go with my companion. I visit the suffering in the depths and I visit the happy in the spiritual heights. I am allowed to enter here and experience the wonderful celebrations there. So I am able to tell you about it. People are trying to get me to explain as much as possible about the divine world and give you insight. Now I said that I would like to give an account of my experiences this hour. That I am giving this account myself will be understandable to you by the end of this hour. I must point out that we often have to give explanations that may seem depressing to you. We would love to show you only the beauties of heaven. We would love to talk only about the blessed brothers and sisters, but your world is not like that at all. Certain individuals deserve a beautiful heaven, but how many there are who have to go through great hardships before they reach these heights? You are happy and glad when you hear something edifying. We would like to offer you that, and our sublime spirit sister Len also ensures that. But we would like to show you the whole path, as it really is. How you experience it if you live in this or that way. All of this is intended to strengthen you in spirit and soul, to lead you on the right path, so that you have the courage and strength to live the spiritual life in a way that is to your advantage. On the other hand, you should learn to understand your fellow human beings and not to judge them. You must learn to understand them when they have a fate that is determined by God because the Holy Spirit world of God has condemned them to it. You should know all of this in order not to judge one-sidedly and fanatically. You should know that the divine laws are so diverse and that the divine world is ready to pave a path for each person to ascend. And even if a person has to go through a difficult life, the dawn will still come in their life. February 2, 1966. Alex's elementary school lessons in the other world at a lower stage of ascension. About the great forbearance and patience of God's world with beings who are at the beginning of their spiritual ascension. Joseph, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, you must make do with me for this hour. I am well known to you. Why I have to tell you all this, instead of the spirit brother Alex, you will understand in the course of the evening. What I have to tell you and explain to you is, I believe, is also worth knowing for you. About 150 years ago, this person lived on this earth. He could not write. He could only write his name with difficulty. He could only read a little. He was a hot-tempered, stubborn person, and it was not particularly easy to get along with him. So he was not at all intelligent, and he had not attended school. He lived from small trade and the occasional work that was offered to him, and was able to make ends meet. Compared to your present circumstances, it was a life of extreme poverty, but in those days people were generally not used to anything better. This man tried to make ends meet. He remained unmarried and often had arguments with the people who lived in his village. He was very assertive. Now we will not look at his life in more detail, but we will see how he fared in the other world. There, this soul was received by two high spirits. Spirit teacher Joseph addresses the fact that the listeners in this hour were expecting an ascending spirit being who would report on his experiences, as was usual on the first Wednesday of the month. Relatives, his parents and acquaintances stood at a certain distance, but they did not talk to him. The two exalted beings had the task of receiving this returnee and discussing a few things with him. They also wanted to immediately try to clear up some things with him. He expressed his astonishment that he was alive. At first he did not want to believe that life continued in a world that was new to him. But he saw his parents, friends and acquaintances who had already returned to the world beyond, and so it became clear to him, he now saw that life does not end after death. But he had no idea whatsoever about life after death, and so he first felt his body. He found that he had a body, but that it was somewhat different from the body in human life. He still had the same hands, he did not have delicate hands, because his work had not given him well-groomed hands. So he was surprised at first. But he continued to feel himself and felt the hair on his head, his eyes and everything, and now had to realize, he had a body, but this body was more delicately designed than in human life. But certain characteristics were still there. In his earthly life he had a scar on the top of his left hand, and now he looked for this scar and found that it was still there. Picture not in, from book, but it was not as palpable as it had been in human life. So he had to realize that it was a spiritual body that he now possessed, made of spiritual matter. Now he was actually disappointed by the stern countenance of these two high beings and in general by the silence with which he was received. Then these saints of heaven said to him, "Alex, what do you have to bring us? We want to give you this name, what are you bringing back to heaven?" He was astonished by this question and actually did not know the answer. But these saints helped him and said, "Think about your life. You have done many things wrong in life, have brought many sins upon yourself." Now this Alex began to defend himself and said, "No, I have no more sins on me. All the sins that I have committed have been forgiven." One of these saints asked, "Who forgave your sins?" And he answered, "I did confess. Through confession the priest forgave me all my sins." When he saw the astonished faces of these two, he asked, "Can't you tell me where our priest is? Go get him, where is he?" "Because this priest had died shortly before, or according to your terms, a few years before." After that, a new priest had taken over the office, but Alex remained more attached to that old man, and so he asked about him, "Where is he? I see my parents and other acquaintances. But where is the priest?" "He can tell you about my sins, he knows everything, I have confessed everything to him. I don't need to tell you anything, he should give you an account." And these saints replied, "We can't get him, he is not responsible for your sins." Now this brother began to quarrel and complain and defend himself. Christ had died for the sins of humanity. It had always been preached and announced that through the death of Christ all sins would be taken away from people, so he no longer had any sins on him and he could not agree with them wanting to accuse him. The church was something holy and was revered as something holy. So he defended himself with many words. The two saints listened to him for a while and said to him repeatedly, "What you say is not true. You yourself are responsible for everything you have done. Christ has indeed redeemed you from that great guilt of apostasy, and he has created the possibility for you, as for all the other fallen ones, that the way to us, and by that they meant the way to heaven, is clear. Alex could not understand that, and he continued to defend himself in a way that was typical of him during his lifetime, challenging. And so these saints turned away from him and disappeared. There he stood alone. His parents and the acquaintances who had been nearby but were so far away from him that he could not speak to them had also left. Suddenly he was alone, or so he thought, and a feeling of relief passed through him. "Now I am alone, and I will find my way in this supposed heaven on my own," he said mockingly. But no sooner had he turned around than a brother he did not know came hurrying up to him and said, "Hey, I have the task of devoting myself to you, and I must guide you. You can call me Martin, I am your teacher here." Again he was indignant and answered in a rude manner. The hot temper did not disappear from this soul when the physical body was laid aside, but these feelings of hot temper, egoism, quarrelsomeness, and desire for power were in the depths of the mind, in the whole soul. But this teacher knew how to defend yourself, and he replied very forcefully, "You are completely uneducated, you must be aware of that. You can neither read nor write nor do arithmetic. You can do nothing, and you think that you can have the big say here in the new world. I want to tell you that you have to learn here what you were not given in a human life." This brother who had returned home was outraged, laughed, mocked. "In heaven you have to learn to write, do arithmetic and read?" He thought that was too much. And this teacher said to him, "You were stupid in your human life, and you are stupid here too. You didn't make an effort to learn to write, do arithmetic and read." This Alex defended himself and said that only certain people had been able to go to school, and that there were still many who would go through life without any schooling and get by quite well. "Yes, of course," said the teacher, "but you will have to learn a lot here." He did not want to understand the word learn, because that was precisely what he did not want, to learn. "No. In heaven," he said, "it should be possible for everything you wish for to be there, for you to only have to say a word and all your wishes would be fulfilled, for you to be able to write, read, do arithmetic and everything else that goes with it, simply by yourself." And the teacher answered him, "I will give you a document now. Try to read it," and he gave him one. But he could not read it, and so the teacher said to him, "You see, you have come over to the spiritual world with the same abilities that you had as a human being. Or did you have no abilities? What have you done in your life? Have you done anything for heaven?" And the teacher answered himself, "You have not done much for heaven, because you have exercised force and violence over your fellow human beings. That is not possible here. You must make up for what you missed in human life and what should have benefited you. And you must learn more here than what was necessary in your life. Here you must also learn the laws of God, you must be able to understand God's will and you must know something about the plan of creation. There is a lot you must learn. It will be hard work." Now this Alex saw that it was of little use to him to defend himself and rebel like that. But he did it anyway, using as many words as he had at his disposal, because he still believed that he could behave in the same way as in human life, that he only needed to shout and rage a lot before he got his way. But in this new world he had no success with that. The teacher said to him, "We will start lessons with you. And first you must learn to read and write. Because how are we supposed to teach you if you can't write and can't read? You cannot keep everything we have to tell you in your memory, you must write it down. You must learn to speak and write the language you spoke in your human life correctly. We want to build on the existing basis, you must therefore first learn to write." And the teacher said to him, "I am taking you to a school where there are many beginners just like you. You must begin to learn to write. We will make the lessons varied. For I have already told you what you must know in the heavenly world. You must be taught the most necessary things, and so we will try to make up for what you have missed." He should go to school. But the teacher said to him, "You are still a bit of a stranger in this world, and I advise you to rest a little and first try to familiarize yourself with this new world. You can go around and ask your brothers and sisters what they are doing. But before you set out and become interested in this world, I recommend that you rest a little." And this teacher led him to the house in which he was to live in the future. This house was plain, the whole surroundings were plain, but that did not bother this man who had returned home. He was given a room for himself. In this room there was a very modest bed and a table, all for him alone. Actually, he did not feel tired. He was very curious and secretly he had his plans. He did not like this new world and he thought about how he could escape from it. He immediately saw possibilities for doing so. But he suddenly felt that he wanted to rest in order to gain some strength. Because so much new had come his way and he did not really know whether he should be happy about it and familiarize himself with this new world or whether he should resist it. He didn't like the idea of having to learn, because he felt that he would embarrass himself because he couldn't do anything. He knew that, and he never wanted to be ashamed in front of the others. So he wanted to try to resist as long as possible. But now he lay down on this modest resting place and slept for a while. He woke up of his own accord. No guardian, no relative stood beside him to greet him when he opened his mind's eye again. He also did not know how long he had slept. It became clear to him that this was a different time, or no time at all. He had no watch. Now he looked at himself and realized that he was actually wearing the same clothes that he had worn in his human life. He was therefore dressed in the bare necessities. But he had no shoes. But that did not bother him, because he was not cold, and in his human life he had mostly not worn shoes either. Now he opened the door and looked around to see if anyone was watching him. He saw a lot of activity, but didn't have the feeling that anyone was looking for him right now. Then he realized that he suddenly had a great desire to return to where he had lived on Earth. And it seemed easy for him to find the way there. For him the path was so brightly lit and he felt so attracted to this world he had left. So he moved along this path to get close to the Earth again, and he was attracted to it. He was amazed by this and actually considered it a miracle. "How quickly I have disappeared from this heaven," he thought to himself, because he was already back where he had been when he was alive. Now he could follow the people. He walked behind them, patted them on the shoulders and said to them, "I am here. Can't you hear me? Can't you see me? Can't you feel me?" He did that with his people, whom he knew well. He then discovered that there were many other spirit beings who walked alongside people. He actually found that particularly interesting. With some of them he discovered that there was even a friendly relationship between this spiritual companion and the human spirit. He now tried to establish such a friendly relationship, but he did not succeed. His acquaintances did not hear him. He spoke to them, but it was no use. They did not do anything like that, as if they were hearing something. And so he simply changed people and stayed with them for a while. When the people were asleep, he occupied himself with things that gave him pleasure. And so he stayed on this earth, because the thought of having to go to school kept him firmly on earthly ground. Now he believed that he felt comfortable where he had lived before. He went into the house where he lived and chose his place and felt like lord and master there. He went to his acquaintances and was very curious to see and hear what was being said. For now he realized, "Strange, you can hear and see everything, you can penetrate everything, through the walls, nothing can stop you through the walls," and he enjoyed it. He also realized that there were spirit beings who caused mischief among people, and so he himself was not far from imitating them. But now, all of a sudden, two acquaintances stood before him. There were these saints, these two angels who had received him on his return to the spirit world. They just looked at him and raised their hands threateningly. Then he immediately fled from this earth and entered his real world again. Suddenly he became afraid, for they had stood threateningly before him, and so he had to realize that he could not do what he wanted after all. He found his way back to his house, because he had been drawn to exactly the same place in the spiritual world. There he went into his room, but only for a short time. Because he noticed that he was not actually missed and no one asked about him. So he felt free again and followed the advice he had been given. He should familiarize himself with the new world. So he wandered around. This new world did not have much to offer him in terms of special features. It was similar to the earthly world, so much of the same could be found, but in spiritual form. So he came to a small forest and went in. In the middle of this forest was a small hut. He looked at it and realized that it was uninhabited. And so he wanted to make it his own and believed that in this way he could escape the place assigned to him in the world beyond and his tasks. He thought about it and thought, I can live here too, there is an uninhabited hut here. He didn't even know that this hut was also visited from time to time. To his surprise and joy he discovered that there were animals in this forest. And so he thought that there was enough activity and entertainment, because the animals came close to this hut from time to time. But they only came close, and he then stepped out and went to them to talk to them. It was a bit strange for him, but he soon got used to such strange things, that these animals, which were shy and wild towards humans in the earthly realm, were trusting here in this world and he could pet them. He found it interesting to walk around in this forest, and so he also went far away from this hut to look out for all there was to experience in this new world. But he did not meet any spirit brothers here, only animals. Then he always went back to this hut, because it had become his home. When he went back to the hut again, he discovered to his great horror that these two were still there, these two from whom he had fled. They received him and asked, why don't you obey? And they told him that he must now join them, that there would be no escape. He had taken advantage of the teacher's goodwill, he had not made friends with the new world and had not asked his brothers and sisters about their activities, but had sought his own way. The time had now come for him to attend school. He could not resist it. Now he realized that all resistance was useless. He was now led to a different house than the one he had once been assigned to. Here he was received by this spiritual teacher Martin with the words, now there is no escape. Be glad that God is so kind and that he is giving you the opportunity to move up, that you are being given the opportunity to be taught and to learn. Because you must also learn a trade, work, over time. But as long as you do not know the necessary concepts of obedience and cannot write, you cannot learn a trade / vertical bar work. This house was a prison in your eyes. There was no escape from here. He could no longer open doors to escape. Now he had to obey. In this house he was not alone. That actually comforted him, because he now saw that others had been as rebellious as he had been. He now had a room in which he had to live together with the others, he no longer had a room for himself. There was a lot of discord among these siblings at first, but there was always someone there who performed the role of guard and reprimanded them. Because the beings here were still full of discord in their hearts, full of quarrels and could not get along with each other. Everyone believed they were being wronged, everyone believed they had been assigned the worst place. So this teacher had to intervene energetically. These beings then had to leave this living space and attend the school, which was in the same building. Our brother had indeed considered whether there might be a possibility of escape, but that was not the case. Because he found that a kind of wall had been built around this house and there was no escape. So he had to attend school like everyone else, he had to learn to write, read, do arithmetic, the bare minimum. This teacher who taught them showed great patience. And so they were actually surprised, because they were not scolded because they knew nothing and could do nothing. Instead, they were treated like children, they had to practice the simple strokes and thus learn the letters. So they accepted it and were happy with it. Because there was no punishment in the sense that they would lose the joy of learning. There was a lot of patience with them. It took time before these beings fully accepted this school. But they all became ambitious and gradually they could be taught what to do next. They could be told that they now had to learn a trade, work, because the spirits of heaven also practiced their trade. Admittedly, this was not to be understood in exactly the same sense as they might still remember from their human thinking, because here everything was spiritual. And so they then saw that what was built in heaven or what objects existed had to be created by spiritual hands, that one could not be idle in this new world. So it was not the case that after entering the heavenly world one could only sing and rejoice, as they had believed. No,